You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We've been studying and teaching through the book of Proverbs for the past few weeks. We've been in this series called Proverbs, The Way of Wisdom, and it's been so wonderful to hear how so many of you have been reading a proverb a day. And the other day at the men's breakfast, we talked about different proverbs that have been speaking to us, and I hope this has really just been encouraging for you. I hope you've just cultivated some biblical wisdom. And this series is about pursuing wisdom so that we can live a blessed life. Isn't that what we want? I think every one of us in this place, one thing we have in common, we all want to live a blessed life. We all want to know that we've lived well, that we've lived wise. And sometimes there is this sense that we're not living our best life. That's a real popular phrase right now, right? Live your best life. Sometimes there's this frustration that we're not quite living the life that we're capable of. Like, we know how we want to live. We know where we want to go. We know our goals, where we want to end up. But sometimes we just struggle to get there. How many of you know the struggle is real? The tension is real. Last week, we talked about how our decisions, you know, determine our direction. Our direction determines our destination. But sometimes we have trouble making the daily decisions to get us where we want to end up in life. And we feel this internal struggle. I mean, how many of you have ever known exactly what you were supposed to do or not supposed to do, and you did it anyway? Like, even though you knew what was the right thing to do, right? Like, you've been there, done that before, even though you knew the consequences, you did the opposite of what you needed to do. I mean, for example, we're at the beginning of this new year. I know many of you, you know, part of one of your goals for the new year is to lose some weight and get in shape. And let's be honest, the fast helps out a little bit, right? It's a spiritual discipline, but if I lose a little bit of weight too, that's not so bad. And you know, when you're walking past Dunkin' Donuts, now I want to go in there and get some coffee. But the problem is, I know if I go in there, I'm going to see all those beautiful donuts just calling my name on the show. I just need to get coffee. And I know, like, I shouldn't go in there, but I'm just going to go. I know I can just get coffee. What happens? You go in there and those beautiful chocolate glazed donuts begin calling your name. And what do you know? Before you know it, you leave with just you stuffed your face full of donuts. And you knew better than that, right? You knew better. Or some of you, you know, it's, I'm not going to get into another bad relationship this year. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not going to get into another. I've had a series of bad relationships. It's not worked out. I'm going to take my time. But, oh, he's just so cute. Maybe just one date. Just one date. Come on, swipe right. Just one date. We'll go out and give it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The older people are like, what the heck is he talking about? Well, just give it one try, right? And before you know it, you're in the middle of another bad relationship and you knew better. Why do we do this to ourselves? There's this sense of, I'll never do that again. I'll never say that again. I'll never go there again. I'll never eat that again. And yet there you are, going there again, saying that again, doing that again, eating that yet again. And there can be this sense sometimes, like, if I am a Christian, why do I struggle with these things, right? Like, why do I struggle with anger? Why do I struggle with fear? Why do I struggle with lust? Why do I struggle with unforgiveness? There's a frustration that can settle in. And so the million-dollar question is, how do we change? How do we change? How do we become the person that we want to become? This is the question that sells a lot of books. This is the question that sells a lot of motivational seminars, because people want to know how. We know the problem. The question is, how do we change? How do we become that best version of ourselves? If you're a believer, how do we become that redemptive version of ourselves that we know God desires us to be? Well, in Proverbs chapter 4, King Solomon actually speaks to this very thing. He tells us that real life change actually happens with the heart. Look at this with me. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first few verses, verses 20 through 23. The voice of wisdom here. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Listen to this, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's going to be our key verse this morning. Look at it with me. Let's read it again together. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, you and me as modern day people, when we tend to think about the heart, our heart, we tend to think about the seat of our emotions, right? Like your mind is where your thinking happens and your intellectual abilities are stored, but your heart is the seat of your emotions, right? I love you with all of my heart, baby, right? Or you know, when my heart's going out to you, my heart's really breaking for you when you're sad for someone. And we tend to think of it as the seat of our emotions. But in the biblical idea of the heart, it's more than just the seat of your emotions. In the Bible, the heart is the inner self. It's the will, it's the intentions, it's the very center of your life. Think of your heart as like the control center of your life. It's associated with your character, it's associated with your decisions in the very center of who you are. And Solomon tells us everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. The Message paraphrase puts it this way. Look at the Message version of verse 23. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. That's where life starts. Isn't that true, church? Isn't that true as you think about it? Your heart is really the center of who you are. Everything you do flows from it. You know, think about this. When you meet someone, when you're trying to get to know someone, you don't care so much about what they know as you do what they love, right? If you really want to get to know somebody, you want to get to know their heart. You meet somebody, new acquaintance, you're forming a new relationship. You want to know what's going on inside their heart. For example, say you were to meet someone and you say, oh, what do you do for a living? And they were to say, oh, I'm an astrophysicist. You might say, well, wow, that's very nice. You probably wouldn't say, well, can you tell me, you know, can you explain Einstein's theory of relativity to me? How many of you would find that conversation interesting, right? You're not so much interested in what they know. You'd probably ask them a question like, well, wow, how did you get into that? And their response would probably be something like, well, you know, ever since I was a kid, I was always just fascinated with the stars. I would go out at night and look up, and I always loved the night sky, and I never shook that, and I ended up pursuing this, and it became my career, right? A lot of you, you're friends with somebody, and you don't really care so much about what they know. It's just that you have something that you love in common. Your friend might be a tax attorney. You don't really care about what they know. You just know that you both love the Yankees, and that's what you have in common. Are you with me? It's somebody's heart that really tells you about who they are. It's what we love. When you want to get to know someone, you want to know what is it that you love? What is it that really makes you tick? In fact, one biblical commentator put it this way. He said, the heart is the desire producer that makes us tick. Your heart is what makes you tick. It's what makes you tick. You know, our desires flow from our heart, and they influence almost everything that we do. Our decisions, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the people that we hang out with, like all of this flows from your heart. And so Solomon is saying, be careful, like guard your heart. Wisdom isn't just for your mind. We associate wisdom with the intellect and the mind, but Solomon is saying wisdom is also for your heart. And real life change and real transformation happens at the heart level. Now, since your heart is the center of your life, you have to guard it. Look at this verse 23 again. Above all else, guard your heart. Everybody say, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. Now, one of my favorite places to prayer walk into exercise is the Kensico Dam Plaza. How many of you like to go to the Kensico Dam? You've been there before. Great place for a picnic, great place to go for a run. You'll see a lot of people out there jogging and moms pushing strollers. And I like to go and run around the plaza, and then I take a prayer walk up on top of the dam, and it's just a great place for me to get out in nature, beautiful views, and connect with God. In fact, I love to go up on the dam and look out over Westchester, over White Plains, and just pray for our community. And, you know, it's fascinating because the Kensico Reservoir, it's like the final stop in the greater New York City water reservoir system that starts way up in the Catskills, makes its way all the way down here to Westchester, eventually flows through Yonkers, and makes its way to New York City. And one of the things I've noticed as I've spent time walking and prayer walking at the dam is that quite often I'll see a New York City patrol, an environmental protection agency up there, agents patrolling the dam. And I got curious and I did a little reading after this. In fact, after 9/11, they really stepped up security at the dam because of any potential threat. How many of you know if a terrorist were to compromise the dam, that would be a serious problem? Or if they were somehow to poison the waters of the reservoir. In fact, 1 billion gallons a day come from this reservoir and serve over 9 million people in New York City and Westchester alone. It'd be a major problem, right? It'd be a major problem. problem. So you see environmental protection agents patrolling up there. In fact, they shut down after 9/11 the road. You can't drive anymore. You can ride your bike or walk, but you can't drive across the dam. Why is that? Because you got to guard the source, right? This is New York City's drinking water. This is an important commodity, an important source of water for over 9 million people. And here's what Solomon is saying, like, your heart is the reservoir of your life. Your heart is the reservoir of your life. Everything you do flows from it, so you have to guard it. You have to pay careful attention. If this is true, that your heart is the center of your life, then you've got to be intentional about guarding it. Well, how do we guard our heart? Let me give you a couple of thoughts today. I want to invite you to take some notes. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets, or take out your phone. And in the Redemption app, there's a spot where you can take some notes. If you don't have the app, get it from the website. How to guard your heart. Number one, keep sinful influences out of it. Keep sinful influences out of it. That's the first thing. We got to play defense first, right? You got to be very careful. Pay very careful attention to what you allow to influence your heart. Be careful with who you allow to give influence to your heart. Not everybody should have equal access to your heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Be careful what you allow to, what you entertain in your mind. Did you know that your mind is connected to your heart? What you put into your mind will find its way into your heart. What you put in will eventually flow out. That's why the scripture talks about the renewing of the mind. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you meditate on. Be careful the thoughts that you harbor, because it'll influence your heart. You've got to guard your heart. You got to be careful to keep sinful influences out, because they can eventually infiltrate your heart. Now, we could talk a lot about that this morning, but I think most of you already know that. Most of you, that's kind of a Sunday school level, you know, point today. Like, come on, we have to guard our hearts and be careful with what comes into our hearts. But here's the second thing, how to guard your heart. You got to keep wisdom inside of it. Not only do you need to keep sinful influences out of it, but you got to keep wisdom on the inside of it. And that's really the point of these opening verses in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at this in verse 20 through 21. We read this before. The voice of wisdom, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep the words of wisdom within your heart. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, wisdom is like a treasure that we guard and we keep. You don't leave your best jewelry just sitting out anywhere, right? You keep it in a jewelry box. Maybe if it's really expensive, you keep it in a safe in your home. And so Solomon is saying, wisdom is like a treasure that we guard, that we hide in our hearts. Wise people guard their hearts, not just by playing defense, but by playing offense, having a good offense. They take the fight to the enemy by purposely taking the wisdom of God and the word of God and memorizing it and meditating on it and getting it inside of their hearts. And that's what you and me, we're endeavoring to do at the beginning of this year, right? As we've meditated on the Proverbs, as we've meditated on the wisdom of God, as we've spent daily time in the Proverbs, we're not just waiting to play defense. We're going to play some offense. We're going to take the fight to the enemy, and we're going to get the word of God inside of us in our hearts. You know, it's fascinating how much we pay attention to our outer being, how much we, you know, worry about the way we look, the way we dress. Come on, this is New York, one of the fashion capitals of the world, right? When I moved to New York, I had to step my game up a little bit. There were some clothes I had to throw out of my closet. I had to go shopping. And we pay a lot of attention. Yeah, you're a good-looking church. You've caught my attention. I noticed. But, you know, we care about how we dress and how we look, and we put so much effort into dieting and exercising and taking care of our outer being. Come on, ladies. How many of you ladies love to have a spa day every now and then? You just need some TLC, some tender loving care. You like to get a pedicure. You like to get a facial. Come on, my wife, a little sister was in town this weekend. They went and got, would y'all get a pedicure, something, manicure, something that we never do as guys. We don't even know how to pronounce it. We don't even know what y'all do. What happens? I was at the Dead Sea, and like, they encouraged us to put like sand on us and bathe in the salts. And we came out with our skin, me and my dad, all like smooth, and took a warm shower. We're like, this is so relaxing. Is this what women do when they go to the spa? We had no idea. We're like, this is amazing. We were rubbing dirt on ourselves and effervescing. It was beautiful. Took a warm shower. I felt like a new man. But women, you know, you like to go and get pampered, right? Take care of you. It's amazing how much effort, how much money and time we spend on our outer being. But Solomon is saying, above all else, guard your heart. It's what's on the inside that counts. You better pay attention to it's your inner being. It's your heart. Your heart is the very control center of your life. Prioritize caring for it, taking care of it, strengthening it. Let me ask you this question this morning, church. How strong is your heart? What's your spiritual heart condition? What has influence over your heart? What has the greatest influence over your heart? Back to our verse again, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So not only are we going to guard it, but we're going to know that everything we do flows from it. And so we're going to pay careful attention to what flows out of us. How many of you want to know about the condition of your heart? You want to monitor the condition of your heart. You'd like to know, how is my heart doing, right? Not physically, but spiritually. I mean, you should pay attention to the physical aspect too. But spiritually, how many of you want to know, what's a good way for me to monitor the condition of my heart? I want to know the answer to that question. And here's what Solomon is telling us. Pay attention to what's flowing out of your life. Pay attention to what's flowing out of your life, and you'll have an idea of the health and the condition of your heart. What's coming out of you? Is it bitterness? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? Is it offense? Is it negative vibes? How many of you know somebody who just has negative vibes? Come on. Don't be nudging somebody next to you. That's not nice. We're going to build each other up today in church. Speak words of life. All right? Don't be nudging somebody. We'll be signing you up for counseling on the way out of here. But everybody, we all know somebody, right, that has just negative vibes, right? They're always on Facebook. They can't just post something happy. They're always ranting about something bad. This person took my parking spot, right? And I saw this parent doing a terrible job parenting in Target. Just always something judgmental. Like when you're around them, they just got negative vibes and they just drag you down, right? And you find like you really can't be close friends with them because you just want to tell them, dude, you got negative vibes. Like, I just wish somebody would tell you, you got negative vibes, because people aren't always aware of the condition of what's going on the inside of them. That's the reality. There's something going on the inside of them, and so negativity is flowing out of them. And so let me put it this way this morning. This is really the big idea. What flows out of your life reveals the condition of your heart. If you don't hear anything else I said this morning, write that down. What flows out of your life reveals the condition of your heart. Pay attention to what's flowing out of your life. Pay attention to your outflow, because it reveals the condition of the internal. It reveals the condition of your heart. I mentioned my Israel trip a moment ago. Back in November, my dad and I were on this study tour in the Holy Land, and my dad actually got sick a couple days into the trip, and we had to go into town. We were staying in the region of the Sea of Galilee, and we had to go into town and see this doctor, and the doctor asked a few questions, and my dad was having like stomach issues and stuff, and he was trying to figure out what was going on with him, and you've been there before. He gave him a little cup, and he said, go in the next room, and I want you to give us a urine sample and come back, right? Now, most days, we don't pay attention to our outflow in that way, do we? We outflow, we flush the toilet, and it's all good. But when your doctor wants to know what's going on the inside of you, sometimes they want a sample of your outflow so they can check the health of your inner condition. Are you with me? Sometimes you got to give a sample of your outflow. Sometimes you got to do blood work. You got to do a urine sample, whatever, right? Because we don't usually pay attention to that. But when the doctor wants to know if you have a virus or they want to check your levels, right, then they're going to ask for a sample of something that's flowing out of you so they know how you're doing on the inside. And so if that's true for the medical world, how much true is that for us? More true is that for us spiritually, to pay attention to what's flowing out of us. So let me give you a few thoughts on how to monitor the outflow of your life. A couple of thoughts, things that we should pay attention to if you're going to monitor your outflow. Number one, pay careful attention to your words. Pay careful attention to your words. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 says this: keep your mouth free of perversity. This is a few verses after. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Interesting that that comes right after a verse about guarding your heart. He goes right into Solomon, goes right into your mouth. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Now, this means a whole lot more than just don't curse and don't tell dirty jokes, okay? That's kind of the Sunday school level version of that. But there's a greater application here. Solomon is telling us that there is a connection between your mouth and your heart. How many of you know that's true? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You remember that scripture? There is an intrinsic connection between your mouth and your heart. So pay careful attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's a powerful source of outflow for you and me to monitor. In fact, the Apostle James talks about this. Look at this, James chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He said, "And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." It's a powerful image, isn't it? James is saying, you and me, we're supposed to be freshwater springs. If there's salt water coming out of a freshwater spring, something is wrong, right? Something's wrong with the source. James is saying, it's amazing how us as Christians, one moment fresh water can be coming out, the next minute salt water can be coming out. Can any of you relate to this? Come on, we're in church. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this, right? Then you're on the way home. I wish you would take out the trash more often. I wish this person cut me off. You're honking the horn. You're yelling at your kids. I don't even know why we ever had you, right? It's amazing. Just a second ago, right? I am who you say I am. Fresh water and salt water. I did it this morning. I was threatening my kids to get out of the house. I had to repent on the way to church. I'm like, I'm going to preach living water. Lord, I got to repent for threatening my kids with violence to get them ready for church this morning. Don't judge me. You know you do it too. Yeah, we love you, but we might kill you. We like to keep that option open. So pay careful attention to what's coming out your mouth, because if you're having a problem with negativity coming out of your mouth, it's really not about your mouth. The problem is never really with your mouth. It's with our heart, isn't it? See, the words that flow out of your mouth, they reveal the condition of your heart. If I'm having a problem with my mouth, if I feel myself just criticizing and just tearing people down and just speaking, cursing, then there's really something going on with my heart. And every now and then, we all find ourselves doing that. And there's times when I have to stop and I have to go pray and I got to go do some work on my heart, because the words that are coming out of my mouth are not lining up with the freshwater spring that God has called me to be on the inside. I don't want salt water coming out of my mouth. Pay attention to the outflow of your speech. Here's the second thing. Pay careful attention to your decisions. Everybody say decisions. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, the next couple of verses says this: "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Now, we talked about the path last week, right? We talked about this imagery, how the writers of Proverbs, these wise people, come back to this imagery of the path. And your path reveals your will. It's aligned with your decisions. And so be very careful with the path you choose. Be very careful with your decisions, because your decisions, your actions are born out of your will. They're born out of your will, and your will is connected to your heart. See, here's the thing that happens, okay? When we make mistakes, a lot of times we like to distance ourselves from our mistakes, don't we? We don't like to be associated with our mistakes, and so what do? We make excuses. We make excuses. Now, I'm not saying that your mistakes define you. I'm not saying that you are the total sum of your mistakes. I don't believe that. I'm a grace preacher. I believe that God is a redemptive God. But the reality is we should be really careful with this, because especially the culture we live in, nobody ever wants to admit that they're wrong. People will go down to the grave fighting and defending themselves before they admit they're wrong. Nobody wants to lose face. And can I tell you that the people of God, we're called to be more wise than that? When you make a bad decision, that's not the moment to fool yourself by making excuses for your behavior. That's the time for you to do some heart examination. That's the time for you to do some heart examination. Because a lot of times we excuse away our bad decisions. We make up every excuse possible so that we don't have to really deal with the fact that we chose that course of action. Don't get me wrong. I understand there's some things that are beyond you. I understand there's some things that were beyond your control, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's human nature, how we distance ourselves, you know, from that thing that we did that we're not proud of. Man, we're so quick to run to the things, our accomplishments, right? We're so quick to step into the spotlight and receive the praise for the things that went well that we did. But man, when we mess up, when we crash and burn, we quickly distance ourselves. That is the very time to stop and examine what's going on inside my heart that led me to do that. What's going on inside of my heart that led me to make such a bad decision? Is there some cloudiness going on? Is there something in my heart? Am I distracted? What would cause me to treat someone that way? That's the time to stop and do some work on your heart. And so I want to encourage you this morning, church, as we're still at the brink of this new year, as we're purposing in our hearts to live a blessed life, as we're purposing in our hearts to go after everything that God has for us. Come on, how many of you want everything that God has for you in 2019? How many of you want this to be your best year yet? You got up this morning and came to church on a cold, nasty day because I really believe you want to grow spiritually. You want to be closer to God. You want to know his presence. You want to have a sense of his voice in your life. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. And here's the good news I have for you this morning. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know it all this year. Wisdom starts with your heart. Solomon says, if you want to start anywhere, you don't have to become a genius. You don't have to move your IQ up a couple notches out. It may not hurt to read a few books. It may not hurt to pursue some wisdom, but start with your heart. Take stock of your heart. Consider the condition of your heart. Watch your outflow. Measure your overflow and figure out what's going on the inside of you. Start there. Start there. And I got more good news for you this morning, church. This Christian life, this Christian faith, this relationship with God, it's not just about trying harder. Because some of you, you've done that before. You say, Pastor, I've tried so hard. If you only knew how hard I've tried to be a better person, how much I want to be the person that I am on my good days, how much work I've put in, but how often I just come up short, how often I go back to that same fault, that same sinful attitude, that same behavior, how many times I keep falling down. Can I just tell you the good news this morning is the Christian faith is not about trying harder. It's not about outward conformity. It's about inner transformation. It's about a God who loves you so much that he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for you. And when you get a revelation of just how well you've been loved, when you get a revelation that he's the God who loves you, you can do nothing to make him love you anymore. You can do nothing to make him love you any less, but he's the God who runs out to meet you. The scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you get a revelation of just how well you've been loved, it changes your heart from the inside. And so your will begins to align with the will of God. Your heart begins to align with the heart of God so that it becomes your motivation. God, I want to do the things you want from me. God, I want to live the way you've called me to live. I want to speak the way you've called me to speak. I want to treat people that way because you've changed me from the inside out. Come on, how many of you know love is a powerful thing? Love is a powerful thing. It'll change your heart. It'll change your life. And if you can experience heart change, oh, you can get ahead this year because everything you do flows from your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Because this year, I'm just believing for good things to flow out of your life. Come on, as your pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm cheering you on. We're not just gonna play defense and avoid all the bad stuff. No, we're gonna be people who play offense. Come on, my New Orleans Saints are playing today and I'm believing for some offense. Send some prayers towards your pastor today. I'm believing for some offense. I'm believing for some good things to flow out of you. I'm believing for you to be the solution to the problem. I'm believing for you to be the person who speaks words of life and healing, for you to be the one who brings reconciliation, for you to be the one who speaks wisdom into somebody else's life, for you to be the one who wraps your arms around somebody and prays life into somebody, for you to be the one to step up and meet the need, for you to be the one to step up and generosity flows out of you, and love and joy and peace and goodness. Come on, we're not going to play defense. We're going to play offense. We're going to allow God to change our hearts. Because when your heart changes, the outflow of your life changes. Amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. And we're going to do something different this morning. I want everybody to stay locked in for just a moment. For just a moment. We're going to do something a little different this morning because we're talking about the heart. We don't always have time for this, but we're making time today for our prayer team to come. I want to invite our prayer team to come. We have some extra troops this morning in the ranks for our prayer team. Just come line up across the front here. And here's what we want to do this morning. As the worship team leads us in this final song, we want to agree with you in prayer. If you have a need in your heart this morning, if there's a need in your life, just something that's been weighing on your heart, maybe it's a financial need, maybe it's a physical need, maybe someone you need to forgive, maybe a breakthrough you need in some area, maybe you would just say, I want what God has for me in this new year. As we go into 2019, I want to be closer to God. Maybe it's a need in a relationship or your marriage or your kids. Our prayer team's available this morning, okay, for you to make your way The worship team is going to play an extended set, so we have a little more time for prayer this morning. And I want to just say, don't be shy this morning. If God's tugging on your heart, don't be shy. Just make your way down this morning. And our team would love to take a few moments to pray for you today. So I'm going to close this in prayer. As the worship team begins to lead, you can just come down and make your way and agree with our team in prayer. When you're done, you can find your way back to your seat, okay? Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your great love for us. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you want to change us from the inside out. God, we want to receive wisdom, not only for our heads, but for our hearts today. God, we recognize that if our hearts change, everything we do flows from our hearts. So God, we ask you to help us guard our hearts, to be careful with what we allow to come into our lives, and God, to hide your wisdom and your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you, God, that we would walk with you, that we would live a blessed life. Father, I pray for healing in hearts today, freedom in hearts today, wholeness in hearts today. God, that you would pour your love into our hearts today, that it would change everything that flows out of our lives. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.